Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I'm Grant Cohn. It's been a few days since I last streamed. Not a lot going on. Really been waiting for the wide receiver who shall remain nameless to do something, say something, post something on his TikTok, really advance his agenda, and he did. He just did. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you're just being facetious. You know exactly who I'm talking about. The wide receiver, the guy on the team who doesn't like his contract and wants more money. That guy. He has a TikTok. Because anytime you want more money, you need to start a presence on TikTok. I haven't done that yet, but I make, whew. It's neither here nor there. The wide receiver wants more money. And Niners haven't given it to him yet. So he goes on social media and posts things that are like cryptic. And he's been doing it for months. And today he went on his TikTok and posted a picture of the Washington Commanders practice. As if he's on the team. As if he gets their practice footage to watch in a little iPad afterward, as if he's in the meetings, in the locker room, part of the team. Didn't post anything from 49ers practice, like, oh, I'm not there, but I'm still locked in. I'm learning. I'm watching. I care about my teammates. No. Washington. Why did he do that? Well, quarterback of Washington is one of his best friends. If not his best friend, he calls him like family. It's like a brother to him, Jaden Daniels. They played together at Arizona State. So he's making it pretty clear that he'd like to play for the Commanders. He did say that his first choice is to play for the 49ers, but he also said he'd be happy to play for Washington or Pittsburgh, which is quite a thing to say while you're still on a team. It's one thing if you're like a free agent, but he's under contract with the 49ers and he's daydreaming out loud about other teams he'd like to play for and now posting clips of the other team. He could say he was just supporting his friend, but we all know what he said. We all know that he's open to playing for Washington, and now it looks like he's sort of fantasizing about it. So the question isn't really what do you think of Ayuk right now, or what do I think? I think we've discussed that. Some of you are getting tired of this, some of you aren't. But my question is, what do his teammates think? Players in the 49ers, not the front office, not the coaching staff. What do the teammates think? I was in that locker room this year. He was having a great year. You'd hear people like Kittle and Trent Williams say in the locker room with media around, pay that man his money. Pay that man his money. But when they said his money, they also said $25 million, $26 million. Seemed like a lot 6, 7, 8 months ago, simpler times. Now, that's not going to get it done. Ayuk wants more than that. Seems to want at least $30 million. Maybe he'd settle for a couple million per season less, but it seems pretty clear the way he's talked, the way what he's pushed for, that he's sort of putting himself above his teammates. Like, I want more money than Debo. I want more money than Trent. I want more money than everyone on the team is currently making except Nick Bosa. And I'm tired of taking a back seat, and I am that good. And he's talking about other teams he could play for. These are captains he's putting himself above. Trent Williams, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Fred Warner. All guys who don't make as much money as... Like, the Niners reportedly have offered Brandon Ayuk $26 million a year. Debo doesn't make that. Fred Warner doesn't make that. Kittle doesn't make that. They're not complaining. Trent Williams makes that much money. Future Hall of Famer. Is Ayuk a future Hall of Famer? Not right now. So I could see, I'd wonder if his teammates are starting to roll their eyes and be like, dude. Because exactly, look, what did he do today? Put a picture of Jaden Daniels on his TikTok. Where's the picture of Brock? He said nice things about Brock, but not as nice as the things he said about Jaden Daniels. What do you say about Jaden Daniels? He can make all the throws, the deep throws and the intermediate throws and the checkdowns. If I were his teammate, I'd wonder, like, which team do you want to be on? Do you want to play with us? Or do you want to be on the Washington freaking Commanders so you can play with your friend? Like, what is really important to you? Winning a Super Bowl or playing with your friend? Winning a Super Bowl or making more money than everyone except Trent Williams and Nick Bosa? Or making more money than everyone except Trent Nick Bosa? Is that unfair to say? I mean, posting, like, Debo never did this. None of the Niners players who had a problem with the negotiations ever did anything like this. Debo wasn't posting. Oh, what did he almost went to lunch with Mike McDaniel once when McDaniel was the Dolphins head coach, but he wasn't posting pictures of Dolphins practice talking about, I could really see myself playing for them. And yet people really turned on Debo Samuel that offseason. Like, who does he think he is? He's a freaking diva. He was calling him Diva Samuel. I mean, first, I want to say thank you to Brandon Ayuk for giving us news to talk about. I always appreciate that. It's been a dry offseason, no quarterback controversy. So from my perspective, I'm always grateful when Brandon does something like this. I'm not mad. But from a teammate's perspective, Jaden, from Brock Purdy's perspective, he's sitting at home, you know what I mean, reading his Bible, and he goes on TikTok just to see what's going on with Brandon. Puts down his Bible for a minute, looks at TikTok, and sees Brandon posting about some other quarterback. That's got to hurt. You know? What about me? Because really, let's be honest about Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver whose name I prefer not to say right now. He really blew up because of Brock Purdy. If Jimmy Garoppolo had been the quarterback or Trey Lance, the wide receiver never would have been a second team All-Pro this year. Brock gets a lot of credit for that. Now, maybe if the wide receiver were playing with freaking Jaden Daniels, he put up even better numbers. But that remains to be seen. All we know is that the wide receiver was putting up middling numbers in his career, hovering around 1,000 yards, until he started playing with a truly efficient quarterback in Brock. And yet, he's opining to play with Jaden Daniels, a rookie. I don't know, man. I think at this point, what I would like to do, or I think the smartest move, is not to extend his contract. He's acting like a guy who really isn't all in to be with this team. He's not acting like a guy who's a leader on this team or who sold out to be here. It seems like he's, I don't know. I don't know what Brandon Ayuk is. I said his name again. I'd like to see a little bit more. I'd like to see if he can mature. This has been a disconcerting offseason. And I think he can be better than this. But until he shows it, I'd say, man, you got to play out your fifth-year option. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. You got to play it out. Bet on yourself. Or hold out, whatever you want to do. But no extension this year, man. Don't like the way you've gone about things. Don't like the way you've made this public without making it public and taking little jabs and try to sort of boost yourself at the expense of your teammates. Flirted with other teams. That's what he's doing. He's flirting with the Commanders. I don't like it. So no extension. Unless, of course, you want to sign the one the Niners have offered that's very team-friendly. Assuming you don't want that, no middle ground, no negotiation, play it out. And then we'll trade you next year. You can go play with Jaden Daniels next year, but not this year. And look, maybe things change. Maybe all of a sudden he becomes Mr. 49er, and then you keep him. But right now he seems like a mercenary, a guy who wants to play for the highest bidder. And that's not the Niners culture. Everyone has to sacrifice a little bit to be on this team. You got to really want to be on this team. everyone else seems to really want to be here. You don't see Fred Warner thinking like, man, it'd be so nice to be on the Bengals or whatever team. You don't see Debo being like, man, I really wish I was on the Rams. Now, I'm on the Niners, but I could really see myself on the Rams too. I like what they're doing over there. I like Matt Stafford. If George Kittle said he'd really like to play with CJ Beathard again, I mean, that would just be outrageous. But Ayuk says it and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, why not? So I think the wide receiver has really revealed what he's all about at this point in his career. And it's a bit of a turnoff for me. I wouldn't extend him. You extend cornerstones of your franchise, guys who are leaders. He's never been a captain. He's not going to be a captain this year. He's not even going to be at training camp. I think it's funny, as this wide receiver sort of demands to be crowned elite and recognize that he's elite, the other wide receiver on the team, Debo Samuel, is just showing up to work, practicing, being a captain, being a leader. It's kind of hard to argue like, hey, I'm the best wide receiver on this team when you're not even the wide receiver showing up. The other wide receiver, you got two wide receivers on this team who've been all pros. Debo was a first team all pro. Both of them have had one special year, 11 and Debo. Both of them have one special year. So it's hard to say that 11's better than him. Their resume is kind of similar. 11's younger, but he was better last year. But this year, one guy's there and one guy's not. One guy's posting pics about the Commanders and the other guy's working out with Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. How smart is Debo, by the way? Number 11 is essentially trying to push me off the team. He doesn't want what's allotted to him by the team. He wants more. And they can't afford me if they give him what he wants. So it's going to come down to me or him. And you know what? It ain't going to be me. Because I like being here. And I'm happy with my salary. And I have a good relationship with the coach. And he gives me the ball. So, you know what? If your strategy to stay here, number 11, is to flirt with Washington and hold out, well, good luck. Because I'm going to not do that. I'm going to mentor the rookies who are here to take your job. And not only show up to OTAs and minicamp, I'm going to practice. And I'm going to be in great shape, because the only knock on me is that I'm not always in great shape. But what if I am right now? Best shape of my life, happy making $23 million a year. You're over here not showing up to practice and upset that they've only offered you 26. I'm going to make this a really easy decision for them. I love what Debo's doing. I would do the same thing. Very smart. So let's see how far flirting with the Commanders takes number 11. Maybe it'll take him to Washington. Jad is Jad says, Grant, you should start posting screenshots of athletic articles so SI pays you more too. I swear this method works. Ask BA, it's totally working. I see what you mean. Patek says, Grant, do you know how to get a job in the NFL? Yeah, get to know Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. They will get you a job for sure. I was a huge BA fan, now ready to just move on. It's his first time really having like all of the spotlight. And I think it's fair to say he hasn't handled it in a way that would endear many people. He's come across as immature. But you know what? A lot of people at 26 who are immature at 26 aren't immature at 29. So not writing off brand number 11 just yet. But yeah, it was disappointing. Because I think we all thought higher of number 11. We thought, man, this is a guy who's really in it for the love of the game. He works hard and he's not all about himself. No, he's a wide receiver. He is a wide receiver. This is how wide receivers are, and it's his time. And Debo wasn't that different a couple of years ago, and it was his time to get paid. And you got to really decide if you want to enable high-priced wide receivers to set the tone in your team. A lot of teams don't want that because they're selfish by nature. It's almost inevitable. Okay, let's talk Brock. So we've seen how the Niners do business, these negotiations with Brandon Ayuk. Can we apply that to Brock next year? I mean, has anyone really tried to think forward? How is this going to go down next year with Brock? Like, is it just going to be new league year starts? Oh, extension here, Brock, highest paid. What, like, is that how the Niners do business? Or are they not going to drag this out? Right. Let's just remind ourselves, go through all the talking points the Niners have given this year with the Ayuk, why they haven't signed Ayuk yet. Well, he's a great player. They drafted him. They developed him. He does everything right. He blocks. He does the little things and the big things. He's everything they've ever wanted from a wide receiver. They hope they'd like to have him for the rest of his career. They said that. But he wants more money than they're willing to give him. What he's worth to another team isn't necessarily what he's worth to the 49ers, because the 49ers don't pass that much. 32nd in passing last season in terms of pass attempts. So it's a run-first team. Ayuk's really good, but there's so many other good players, and they're really passing is secondary to what they want to do. It doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense for them to spend all that money, to spend at the top of an exploding market at a position that they don't necessarily take full advantage of. He's never going to get 150, 60, 70, 80 targets a season ever on this team. So really, can you get the bang for your buck for a admittedly great player who, frankly, might be replaceable because of the system and the fact that there are already a bunch of other good players on this team? Do you really need to disrupt the salary structure that's made this team so good to give this guy, to make him one of the highest paid players in one of the most expensive positions? That's the argument against paying Brandon Ayuk, right? Hey, man, I know you want all this money, but you're not really worth that to us. Plus, we don't have to give it to you. That's the kicker. We have leverage. You have none. We can force you to play for way less than what we're offering. So really what we're doing is being generous. You don't like $26 million? Cool, play for $14 million, right? That's what the Niners are essentially threatening Brandon Ayuk with right now. You don't like our offer? Cool. Take way less. Because we're being generous and you're being unrealistic, because on our team, you're not that guy. You're not worth that much. There's a whole lot that goes into it. It's not all about you. That seems to be their stance right now, and it's completely reasonable. I agree with it. So now let's apply it to Brock Purdy, right? Brock Purdy comes along next year and the quarterback market's exploded. Tua just got a freaking extension that pays him $60 million a year. Maybe Jordan Love gets 65 and it's Brock's turn. He's looking at them. He's looking at his numbers, looking at them. He's like, man, my numbers are better. Same with Brandon, right? Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown got X. I'm better than him. Devontae Smith got Y. I'm better than him. So that just slots me up higher. That's what's going to happen to Brandon. I mean, to Brock, unless he really doesn't care about money, which I think he does. He's a professional athlete. He could play rec sports if he didn't care about money. So yeah, he's going to have a hell of a resume next year. And the market will be crazy. And his agent will probably push for what he's worth in the open market, $65 million. And the Niners could do the same thing they're doing right now to Brandon. Yeah, that's technically what you're worth. But to us, we don't pass that much. We're more of a run first team. So we're going to offer you $55, what you were worth last year. And if you don't like it, we could always force you to play out the last year of your rookie contract, which would pay you like $2 million, buddy. So we have the leverage. And you are replaceable because we have all this talent on offense and we have Kyle Shanahan, who's the true star. So yeah, we love you. Our first choice is to keep you at this number, but we're not going to budge. And if you think you can get more, then wait a year and get it somewhere else. That's what they're saying to Brandon. Are they not going to say that to Brock too? Because think about it. If they win the Super Bowl this year, then Brock stays forever, forever, ever, 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 ever. But if he doesn't, third try on a super team. He's very developed and he's very cheap. If they can't get it done with Brock making $100 million a year, third try, is Kyle going to say, yeah, now let's pay him $65 million a year and now we'll win it? Because the team will get worse. He'll get more expensive. We know how Kyle Shanahan thinks. He doesn't lose a Super Bowl and say, man, you know what? That was my fault. That's on me, guys. You guys were the best team. I let you down. I'm coaching the best team and I couldn't find a way to get it done against an inferior team. It's on me. No. It's the quarterback's fault. And we heard it from Chris Sims, Kyle Shanahan, dear friends, roommates in college that have each other's initials tattooed on each other's ankles or something. Allegedly, they think alike. And Chris Sims ranked Brock Purdy with like the 17th best quarterback in the league and said, look, he's good. But if he were truly elite, the Niners would have won the Super Bowl. He wasn't that great in the Super Bowl. Yada, yada, yada. Is that not how Kyle thinks? Yeah, he's good. You know, I didn't put him in my system. He's an MVP candidate. But like, really, when the rubber meets the road and it's time to play the best team and win the Super Bowl, he's just not good enough. So should we pay him? Should we pay him elite money when he's merely very good? And frankly, if he's very good, but not good enough to get us to our ultimate goal. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be interesting to see what Kyle does, because what he could do is trade Purdy. Hey, man, we couldn't win a Super Bowl with you. You may be elite, but if we can't win a Super Bowl with you making no money, it's going to be hard for us to gut our team and then win a Super Bowl with you and your limitations. So we're going to trade you for a quarterback we think is elite right now. They could trade him for Dak. I could trade him for Kirk Cousins. Trade him for any quarterback who's expensive. It's like, look, if we're going to have to spend all this money on Brock, trade him for someone who's also expensive, but is actually someone that Kyle considers elite. Because if you were having like drinks with Kyle and he was being honest and you asked him who's better right now, 24-year-old Brock or 36-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles, I'm guessing he'd say Kirk. Who's better, Brock or Dak Prescott? I'm guessing he'd say Dak, because in Kyle's eyes, why are quarterbacks on his team successful? Is it because A, they're good, or B, Kyle's their coach? Was Kyle ever impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo's wins, numbers, resume? Hell no. Turns out Kyle was lower on Jimmy than any of us were. So while he's clearly higher on Brock than he was on Jimmy, knowing Kyle, he's the kind of guy who's going to be skeptical, especially if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, because it won't be his fault. He can say, look, man, here's the thing, too. Let's bring it back to the Brandon Ayuk comparison. They felt uncomfortable paying Brandon Ayuk. They're in this standoff because Brandon wants what he can get in the open market, but they also tried to trade him. They took calls during the draft. Turns out no team was willing to trade a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. If one team was willing to trade a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk, he'd probably be gone by now. Washington, Pittsburgh. Purdy's going to be different. If Purdy has another MVP-caliber season, statistically, and then goes to the playoffs and doesn't win the Super Bowl, and Kyle's starting to think, well, maybe we could flip him for a quarterback who truly is elite, or you could just trade him for picks, because Purdy's going to be worth at least one first round pick. He's a potential young franchise quarterback. And there are a lot of teams who run the 49ers system. I mean, what if things don't work out with Aaron Rodgers on the Jets this year? Would Saleh not want Brock Purdy? Would McDaniel not want Brock Purdy in Miami? I think a lot of teams would want Brock Purdy. So there'd be a huge trade market for him. I don't know. I mean, is this not how the Niners do business? Do you really see Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden being like, man, this guy, this quarterback, he's more important than my system. He's more important than any weapon on the team. Hey, thank God. Because that's how Andy Reid talks about Patrick Mahomes, right? Hey, man, forget the system. As long as we got this guy, we're good. All I'm here to do is make him be confident and help him be his best. That's the kind of stuff he says, right? Is Kyle ever going to truly feel that way about any quarterback not named Kirk? Do you think Kyle and Kirk don't talk? Who do you think is closer friend?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Friends with Kyle Shanahan, Kirk or Brock? Like, if you were to look through Kyle Shanahan's phone records at the end of a month, more calls to Kirk or Brock? I'm guessing Kyle and Kirk talk a lot as friends about non-football things. Tough to compete with that. Brock, you better win the freaking Super Bowl. I'm telling you right now. All right. I want to do some sleeper picks. Then we'll get back to the matter at hand. So let's see what's going on sleeper-wise. WNBA is always my... Oh, what? No WNBA picks? I guess there's a game today. Are they done for the season? That's too bad. Okay, let's go MLB. MLB. What's up with the Giants? They're not there. Okay, so let's see. All right, so we've got... First of all, before I make my pick, I want to say I got a promotion going. If you use the promo code COHN, you can get it with the used the letters, or there's a QR code on the screen right there. And then send me a screenshot of it. I'll Venmo you $10. It's the most generous promotion of all time. So it has to be your first time using the app. Use promo code CONE. Send me a screenshot. I'll send you $10. Simple as that. So let's go through. This is how the app works. It's a good app, man. Tell you. Let's look at some. I can't wait till there's football picks to make. That's what I'm saying. But let's look at the Mets. Lindor. He's a good player. Let's see. Hits, runs, and RBIs. Let's get some action on this one. Francisco Lindor, 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. I'm going less. I don't like Francisco Lindor on Mondays in July. Don't think he's really cut out for that situation. How about Colorado? That's a terrible team. We can't do them. Oh, De La Cruz. He's good. Ellie De La Cruz, 6'5", shortstop. Good player, man. Good player. Hits, runs, and RBIs, 1.5. Absolutely not. Good player. Betting, picking against him. Definitely not betting. Minnesota. It's Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a good town. You been there? I like it. Carlos Correa, day to day. I'm definitely picking against him. Definitely picking against him. Those are my picks. I feel really confident about those. I'm going to lock them in. Just nothing but hate across the board for three shortstops that I don't like. Personally. It's personal against these people. They're evil. Just kidding. Flexing it. Three to make $15, but if I get two right, I get $660. Submitting the entry. Easy as that. Sleeper galore. Again, use the promo code, and I will send you $10. Yeah, that's what I do. Okay, let's talk Christian McCaffrey. Nothing's going on except Christian McCaffrey drama with his wife, who's frankly really famous. Like, I didn't know. Football fans probably don't know, but she was Miss Universe a long time ago, and she was in pageants as a little kid. So she's been a person of interest for a long time, has way more followers on Instagram than Christian McCaffrey, and they had a wedding recently, and it wasn't like your typical wedding where you invite like 40 to 100 people of your closest friends, family on both sides, plus ones. That's it. You know, it's just the family. It's kind of private. Maybe you put some pictures on Instagram or Facebook to flex, but really it's just for the people who are there. It wasn't one of those kind of weddings. They invited celebrities like Shane Gillis, the comedian, was at the wedding. Like, he was a family friend. I don't know why you would have to have a comedian not telling jokes, just standing there that you don't know. at your wedding, but it was that kind of a wedding. It was a celebrity wedding. And to take it up a notch, she is now a fashion influencer. So Vogue was interested. Vogue's all about, I don't know, fashion. It's a magazine. People use to read magazines, and it's about fashion. And she's important in fashion trend setting. So they're like, we want to know what she's going to wear. So she invited Vogue, and they did a freaking photo shoot. And so people could see all the gown and stuff. And I am very sophisticated when it comes to women's bridal wear. And I thought it was lovely. Thought it was a lovely dress. It was really pretty. She looked pretty. They looked great. Thing is, other people saw it too, because they made it public. And people, some women who know a whole lot more about stuff and fashion and bridal stuff than me, didn't like it for whatever reason. I couldn't even begin to explain what the issue was, but I guess, you know, we talk about football in granular details, like why a team lost, why someone's overrated. Well, people that like fashion would really get into the details of a dress, and she's supposed to be a trendsetter, and some other people, influencers, felt she wasn't setting trends or didn't like the trend she was trying to set, or felt, who knows? Don't care, frankly. All I care about is that it really struck a nerve with this extremely famous young woman. And she wrote, she clapped back in the comment section and called the TikTok influencer, criticizer, person who didn't like her gown, an evil person, which is just hilarious. It's like if I were to post a shirtless picture on Twitter and asked, do I look super cool and shredded? And people were like, no. And I'm like, how could you say that to me? You're evil. How could you not praise me when I put myself out there online? It's like, you shouldn't have put yourself out there. If you put something out online, people are mean and they're gonna say something mean. She wasn't even mean though. She was she just got critiqued. But most people, what I've realized is they don't like getting critiqued at all. Privately, publicly, they can't take it. I can take it. Happens to me all the time. I must be, you know, a sadomasochist. I don't know. But bring on the hate. I can take it. Christian McCaffrey, he can take it. He's a professional football player. He has to deal. It was really funny. Minicamp, he did a press conference. And it's Offensive Player of the Year. I think it was Larry Kruger. Like one of the first questions, like, hey man, so like you fumbled in the Super Bowl. That must have been really tough to live with the last. How have you sort of gotten over fumbling in the Super Bowl? It's like, damn, Larry. Wow. Man, his feelings. I like the question though. Honestly, I thought it was pretty cool. And you can see Christian get pissed, but just say like, you know, like, obviously that hurts, but that's in the past and I'm focused on the future. Not like, what an evil question. What an evil thing to bring up. Like, no, it's fair. Sorry. Yeah, you're one of the best players in the league and you're a really rich and handsome, well put together person, but you fumbled in the Super Bowl, buddy. And we got to talk about it. Like, we got to ask you about it. How do you feel about that now? That's a lot tougher to take than I thought your dress was boring. Christian fumbled in the Super Bowl and Larry asked him that like 2 weeks ago. Some lady says, hey, I thought your dress would be a little bit more interesting. I like the dress. Can I give my review of Olivia Culpo's dress? It was white. It looked like a wedding dress. Can guys tell the difference between wedding dresses? They all look exactly the same. And so do the guy attire. Like that is not, I've never been at a wedding really with people who wear like the white gown and been like, now that is an interesting, offbeat, exotic white gown. Like it's supposed to be traditional. I don't know. But anyway, she could have laughed it off. She could have been bigger than, she could have not invited Vogue. She could have not invited Shane Gillis. But you wanted a celebrity. It was kind of like the white party in the Hamptons. If that's what you want to turn it into, then you're inviting people to have commentary about you. And I just thought it was funny that Christian had to jump in and defend her too. He's like, oh, what an evil thing to post. Like, no, Christian. Get mad at Larry Kruger for asking about your fumble. Don't get mad at that other influencer for saying she didn't like your wife's sleeves. Was it the sleeves? It might have been the sleeves. Again, I thought the dress was quite nice. I just think it's funny how football players, as they get older and richer and more famous, like, want to be more than football players. Because if you're honest about it, like, being a football player is not glamorous at all. How many NFL players are legitimately famous? Christian McCaffrey is one of the more famous players in the league. He's the face of Madden. And his wife is more than two times more famous than him. In that couple, he's like the junior partner of fame. So I'm sure they love reading together, holding hands, talking about Scrabble and stuff. But I think part of him likes the idea of being an influencer. And I mean, he's done model fashion shoots for, I don't know if it was Vogue, but he's dipped his toe into that world a little bit too. And I think he was hoping that this spread, they kind of treated this wedding like it was like the royal wedding. And I don't know. I think 5 years, is Christian McCaffrey going to have a reality show called The McCaffrey, Keeping Up with the McCaffreys? And it's him and Olivia and his brothers and his dad and, you know, just getting into no good. There's hijinks around town. I don't know. You always wonder what a football player's plan is after football or to transcend football. Yo, Kittle's going to be a wrestler. McCaffrey's going to be, I'm going with reality star. But is he famous enough? That's what I'm saying, man. Like, is he even famous enough? If there was a show on HBO or E, let's say it's on E, called The McCaffreys, would it be famous enough on his own, or would it have to be all about his wife? It might have to be all about his wife. Anyway, if he gets in more drama with influencers on TikTok, that not only would that show might happen, it might be interesting. So stay tuned. But until Christian is willing to take shots at Larry Kruger, it was Larry Christian. Larry said it. You remember? Larry asked you that question? Then I don't want to hear you take shots at lady who didn't like the sleeves. Because you probably didn't like the sleeves either. I don't know. Sorry. Sleeves are a nice touch, man. 808 Niner says, the problem with your argument is that you don't know what the exact offer is. True. Guaranteed money could be trash. BA may only have his one chance to get paid. Sure, sure. And him posting pictures of the Commanders practice is lame. And not but. Burndog 79 says, can they keep BA and tag him in 25? I would be laughing all season long. Is it possible or logical? Not only is it possible, but it seems like what they're going to do. I mean, the Chiefs do this. Didn't they just do this to L'Jarius Sneed? Like, L'Jarius Sneed wanted an extension. The Chiefs were like, no. And then he played out his deal and they won a Super Bowl. And they were like, hey, L'Jarius, thanks for everything. We're tagging you and trading you for like a third round pick. Did they not do the same thing with D Ford? Drafted him in the first round, made him play out his fifth year option. D was like, hey, I'd love an extension. They were like, no, we're tagging you and trading you to the 49ers so they can pay you a bunch of money and regret it. So yeah, that could definitely happen. Michael says, is it the culture Kyle created, aka Cabo Click, that number 11 is tired of or truly about the money? Willie Sneed made it public about the favoritism in SF. Man, I don't know. All he does is post little pictures of Commanders practice, and I don't know how to interpret how he exactly feels. He had an hour-long interview on The Pivot to explain that. But he didn't. And what he talked about in The Pivot made him seem like he was what he cared about was being acknowledged as elite in terms of his contract and his targets. Maybe I misinterpreted what was important to him, but that's what I thought he talked about. All right, last topic. Is Kyle Shanahan the best offensive coach in the league? A lot of people will say, you know what? He's not the best head coach. Okay. Obviously, he's had some issues with game management, you know, sealing the deal. But as an offensive, strictly an offensive coach, he is clearly the best. Number one in the league. Forget Andy Reid, because Andy Reid benefits from the human cheat code who is Patrick Mahomes. You can't really give Reid any credit for what he's doing because it's all Patrick Mahomes. But Kyle doesn't have Patrick Mahomes or an elite quarterback until maybe recently, if you consider Brock elite, although I don't think Kyle does. And he was able to have top five offenses with Jimmy Garoppolo and multiple quarterbacks. And so he really is the star of this team, and he brings much more to the table than Andy Reid, who's, you know, funny and self-deprecating and a good coach, no doubt. But anyone could coach Patrick Mahomes. You hear that a lot, right? I don't understand that. I think to me, Andy Reid is like clearly the best offensive coach in the league. And not only that, he's one of the best offensive coaches of all time. And Kyle may become that one day, but he hasn't reached that status yet. And what Kyle has going for him, number one thing in his resume is his scheme. He has built a particular scheme that is very particular. It's old school. It's the quarterback under center. It's a shift and a motion before every play. It's all those little tricks to get defenses on their heels. If I asked you to describe the Kyle Shanahan scheme, you could do it in 45 seconds or maybe 30. And it's great that he has something that's so effective. Other teams want it. It's basically effective, as very effective in the regular season, especially. But it hasn't won a championship. They don't have that proof of concept yet. And ultimately, I think what we know, as you know, people who've followed this franchise that had Bill Walsh, it's not, there isn't some scheme that's the best. You build your scheme to the players you have. And I think it's undeniable that Andy Reid does that better than Kyle. Kyle has a scheme that works a particular way, and he likes to replace pieces. There has to be a one-for-one replacement for every piece. Otherwise, something would change, and it works the way it works right now. It's constructed right now. So Andy Reid, on the other hand, what is his offense? What are the core principles of an Andy Reid offense? With Kyle, it's run first, outside zone, under center, play action, pass off of that, in-breaking routes, 10 to 15 yards downfield, over and over and over and over again, with shifts and motions sprinkled in to make it more modern than what his dad was doing, but it's very similar to what his dad is doing. That's the Shanahan offense. Outside zone. Everything's predicated on outside zone with play action bootleg off of that. Finesse offensive lines. You can say it's been the same since this is the Shanahan offense, their philosophies. Andy Reid offense is like, well, when they had Alex Smith, it was something. When they had Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, it was something else. When they lost Tyreek Hill, they became much more of a dink and dunk offense. When Travis Kelce was going through a tough season this year, they became a run first offense with two and three tight ends on the field. Like, whatever it takes, that's the offense they are. And to me, that's true genius, true creativity. Not like, there's one way I make this work. There's one way I like to do this. I can do it anyway. Doesn't matter. We're going to be a screen team. We're going to be a vertical team. We're going to be a horizontal team. We're going to be a physical running team. He can do that better than anyone. Whatever philosophy or style of offense you want him to build, if you give him the players, he can do it in a more creative way than anyone else. That's the best offensive coach in the league. He's so much better than everyone else. It doesn't even seem fair putting anyone in the league. Like all the other guys who were good at offense, McVay, McDaniel, Kyle, they're all system coaches. None of them deviate too much from what they've learned from Mike. They dress it up. You know what I mean? They might put a little A1 sauce on it, put a little Tapatio. It's the same recipe. Andy Reid is changing his menu weekly. You know what I'm talking about? Like you go to a restaurant you really like, but you're like, man, this place never changes its menu, man. It's the same stuff all the time. And maybe you change a little something, but it's the same. This is still a Caesar. You call it something else, it's a Caesar, but this has citrus. It's got some
oranges in it. It's the same thing. Andy Reid, it's like one day it could be Italian, the next day it could be Asian fusion. I mean, however you want it, you could get it. He has that much experience. And he's truly inspired, as opposed to someone who thinks one thing works. That's the difference. Can't call him the best offensive coach until he becomes a little less rigid. That's how I'd see it. Michael, B.A.'s point is he should be a captain. He said he was the tone setter in practice. He's put his head down and worked hard, and he is that guy. B.A. Is better than Debo Samuel and George Kittle. Well, he was last year, but this is a new year. And Ayuk's not there, but Samuel is. So it's going to be interesting to see which guy has a better year this year. And as far as Ayuk being a captain, Bosa wasn't a captain last year because Bosa wasn't at training camp. And to be a captain, part of being a captain is going to all the practices. So I don't see how you could give Ayuk a captainship this year. Maxime LaFlame says, being a genius is going seven-step play action against a team that doesn't honor play action and throwing 11 times to a guy that can't separate against man. Well, when you put it like that, so succinctly, I can't disagree with you, Maxime. It's a great point. I feel like I always have some topic on this show where I have to like take a shot at Kyle. I was watching some podcast the other day where someone was explaining why they were thinking the Niners weren't going to win the NFC this year, but he was like, don't get me wrong, I still think Kyle Shanahan is the best offensive coach in the league by a wide margin. I was like, what? You just say that? What about the guy with three rings? Andy Reid's an all-time great. More coaches should strive to be like him. Flexible, not hogging the spotlight, taking a back seat to his quarterback. As opposed to Kyle, who kind of comes across as like the Madden player of the year, right? It's like, look, man, I'm the number one ranked Madden player in the world. And I play Madden a certain way. And this is my team. And I'm the one calling the plays, controlling the quarterback, telling him where to throw, basically going through the reads for him. As long as he doesn't mess it up, I win. And the reason I haven't won a Madden tournament yet is because my quarterback is a video game and he messes up. That's kind of the Kyle Shanahan experience. He's the number one Madden player in the world. And Mike McDaniel's number two. Matt LaFleur's number three. No, McVay's McVay was number one. Sorry. I'm rambling. Thanks for watching. Tomorrow is Monday. I'll be back with Ryan and Larry and then, you know, how we do. See ya.
Save big money on your next painting project. Menards carries Purdy paintbrushes, roller covers, trays, and paint kits to help you get the job done right. Purdy brushes are handcrafted in the USA and are the number one brand preferred by professionals. Save big on Purdy painting tools at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.